much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a really, really good day today. Well, here's a question for you, a loaded question. Is everybody running your life except you? Is everybody running your life except you? Do you feel like you don't even have a say in your own life? Well, how about this question? How would you define a healthy boundary? How would you define a healthy boundary? Well, my guest today is Dr. John Townsend, and he defines it this way. Boundaries are personal property lines that define who you are and who you are not, and they influence every area of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So when is a boundary absolutely necessary? And can a boundary ever be selfish? Well, we'll talk about that and more today as we celebrate the re-release of Dr. Townsend and Cloud's book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, and to take control of your life. Would you believe there have already been over 2 million copies sold of this title? Well, this is a new updated version. We've got 3 copies of this hardcover, brand new re-release title, and we will take them by email. So if you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. And if you've got a question for Dr. Townsend today, go ahead and add that in your email, and I'll do my best to weave it into the conversation. A quick announcement. You know this if you listen often enough, that every month we have a segment called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, and it's one of our most popular. I know you love it so much. And a number of you asked me to let you know next time we do a live studio audience. Well, we've got that date nailed down. It's Thursday, November 9th, and we have 75 spots for the live studio audience. All you have to do is go to our website, hop on the Live the Promise show page, and you'll see the sign-up link there, and sign up, and 75 of you will get a spot. It's free. You'll receive a notification if you're somebody who got a spot, okay? But better not to put this off. MyFaithRadio.com, hop on the Live the Promise show page, and you'll find the information there. Also, Faith Radio is growing by leaps and bounds, and Live the Promise is heard all over the world. We're so grateful and just want to say thank you for whatever market you're listening in. We bless you. We thank you. So glad to be part of your family. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. John Townsend is a respected leadership consultant, psychologist, and New York Times bestselling author. He's also the founder of Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling. He travels extensively for corporate consulting, speaking, and helping develop leaders and their teams. He and his wife, Barbie, have two sons. They live in Newport Beach, California, and we're honored to have him back on the show with us today. Dr. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Susie.
Always good to have you, sir. And we love to start, as you know, talking scripture. So before we dig into the content of your great book, let's talk about the passage you chose for today, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. From it flows the issues of life. Speak to that verse, if you would.
Well, I thought it was a good sort of encapsulation of what the Bible says about the boundaries issue, because so many people say, oh, boundaries, that's psychobabble. Oh, well, is that a psychology thing? Goodness gracious. No, it's in the Bible so many times, and what better verse than Proverbs 4:23, because that passage says to keep or guard our hearts, meaning that we have to be responsible for what's inside of our skin, things like our values, our emotions, our thoughts, our decisions, our passions. And right now, Susie, there's nobody in our lives that's having a meeting saying, how can Susie and John Townsend have more time?
Yeah.
They're not having that meeting. Mm-hmm. That depends on us. They're guarding their own time. So we've got to guard that, because everything inside of us is what we accomplish the mission of life with. If God's called you to be a parent, or if God's called you to be a business person, or a pastor, or a minister, or whatever, you've got to guard what's inside you so you can go do the mission. That's why it's such a good passage about boundaries.
Boy, that's fantastic. You know, years ago, Dr. John, I studied that passage, and guard is a masculine noun. And the two visuals it gave when I just did a deeper dive on it, one was a father, husband and father, standing at the edge of his property and with attention, with his kind of rifle, guarding against any intruders that would come onto his land and harm his family. And then the second visual was a prison guard keeping the prisoner in so the innocent people out on the street would be protected. And I think those are two such compelling visuals when you think of what God is charging us to do, that there is a diligence. That's why it says diligence, but there is we have to take some kind of initiative to guard the right things in our lives, as you said, so we can do what God calls us to do. I just don't think we talk about that enough.
No, we don't. We're just not reading our Bible sometimes, Susie, because there's so many passages that talk about love and sacrifice and giving and so many great ones like that. But that's not all the passages in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I love that guard imagery you gave, because sometimes it means the guard says, with the rifle, he says, no, sorry, you can't have my time right now. Sorry, you can't take my money right now. Sorry, you can't take my energy right now. I'm having to guard myself. And the no's in the Bible are just as important as the yeses.
Yes. Amen. Okay, so before we get into some of the new content in this new re-released title, I want to know, with 2 million copies sold, you and Dr. Cloud released this book. What has surprised you since then? I mean, I can't even fathom the impact it's had, but what surprised you as far as you watch this thing kind of ripple out?
That people bought it after a while.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Here's the funny story about this. Henry and I were talking about the next book we'd write, and we liked the ideas of boundaries because people would say, look, Christians don't have boundaries, and they're burning out, and they feel guilty, and they can't say no to anybody, and they feel bad if they say, they can't be in a meeting or be on a board or have some drug addict in their life they're supposed to pay for. And so would y'all write a book on that? And we went, well, yeah, there's a lot of passages about that, man. We honestly thought back then, we'll write the book, and then everybody will have really great boundaries, and it'll sell a few copies, and everybody will have their boundaries, and we'll write something else. And we had no idea it's selling more 25 years later. Henry and I wrote the book when we were 8 years old.
So yes, of course. And think about how much you know now.
Yeah, it's really done better. So 25 years later, they're still buying the book, and we realize it's just kind of a human problem.
Yeah.
It's a human condition as a parent, as a person in ministry, as a business person, as a spouse, that we still have boundaries problems. So that was kind of the big aha for us. It's an ongoing problem that people have.
Wow. Well, I'd love to just have you speak.
We wrote boundaries in parents, and we wrote boundaries in teens, and boundaries in leadership, and boundaries in dating and marriage, because we found out people say, I know I'm supposed to say no, but I'm scared to, or I don't have the skills. So we just try to help them with that.
Boy. Well, talk to us about some of the new content that you added in this updated revised version.
Well, we did take the word 8-tracks out of it.
So that's good. Since nobody will know what you're talking about.
Nobody will know what we're talking about. But what we're really excited about, besides just updating all the info, was our publisher said, Zonovan, said, we need for y'all to write a chapter on boundaries in the digital age, because when y'all wrote the book, there was no internet, there were no smartphones, and everybody's really struggling with boundaries and those things right now. So we started studying the impact of the digital world on our boundaries, and it's enormous. For example, God made a system up that said the sun's going to come up and you'll get up and work, and then the sun will go down. You go home, be with your family, and chill out and this sort of thing. And so that's what that's about. And then you're home and nobody's calling you from work. I mean, 25 years ago, that wasn't happening that much. And nowadays, and I love tech. I love the whole internet thing, but it's a double-edged sword. Anybody can reach you anytime with any modality anywhere in the world via text or email or a digital phone or a cell phone or Instagram or whatever. So the idea of God's structure of, hey, you've got to have time where nobody has access to you so you can rest and relax and be with your family and recoup your energy, that's gone. So and that'll never change again. That horse has left the barn. So we talked in the chapter about having good boundaries in your home with the digital age to protect your time and your energy as well as those of your kids.
Give some examples of, especially for that person listening today, going, it seems like you said the horse has left the barn and I don't have any idea how to rein this thing in.
Yeah. One of those is what my wife, Barbie, and I call depixelated time.
Yeah. Love that.
You know, the pixel, you know, when your TV and all, and we started realizing that we were spending a lot of time like watching TV while we're reading our iPads. It's like, wait a minute, this is way too many digits. So we have these periods where we'll just read a book to each other with no television, no smartphone, no iPad, no laptop. Read a book to each other and talk about what the book meant, and read a physical book. Or with the kids, you've got to have times when you can't have a smartphone in your hand, and you charge the smartphone in a family charger outside the bedroom so they're not on there until 3 a.m. Little tricks like that really put you in control of the digital world so it doesn't control you.
Right,
and
so
another one is one of my kids came up with called the cell phone tower, where he'd go out with his friends who's in college, and everybody, you go to a restaurant, it's so sad to see a bunch of people sitting around not even talking while they're on their phones looking at each other. Why don't you just be, at home? So one of our kids he had a cell phone tower competition where he'd go with his friends in college. You had to put the cell phones upside down, stacked on top of each other in the middle of the table, and the person that just couldn't stand it and had to reach over so they could text friends, he had to buy lunch for everybody.
Love that.
little tricks like that, which put you in charge and not the digital world in charge.
I remember one time I was flying out to speak at a conference, and I was sitting in one of those booths at the gate. And so right next to me was a mom, a mother-daughter, and the daughter probably was 8, 9, 10. And she's sitting there with her kind of face in her fist just waiting for her mom, and her mom stared. I sat there for 2 hours, and that mom never looked up from her phone. And so the daughter kept saying things to her, and the mom wouldn't listen. So then the daughter started to say things like, I'm going to paint the house purple. I'm going to light the house on fire. And she never looked up. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this goes both ways. Because there are times kids really want their parents' attention. And the parents are the ones with their noses in the phone.
Yeah, if I had my way, boy, I would have some kind of an alarm with a parent that said, look up and be a parent now. You're not parenting. Don't say I'm taking my kid out to lunch and you get on and you do fantasy football the whole time.
No kidding.
And because kids, most of what I study now is neuroscience about how God created our brains in such wonderful ways. And if a child doesn't get engagement, eye contact, those sorts of things, their brains don't develop. It's so important.
Wow, amazing. Talking to Dr. John Townsend today, he and Dr. Cloud co-wrote the book Boundaries years ago. Over 2 million copies sold. Well, they've re-released, updated up, revised version. We've got 3 copies of this hardcover great book. Email if you want in on the drawing. Don't forget that mailing address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you got a question about boundaries, include that as well. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to our friend Dr. John Townsend, who co-wrote the book years ago, Boundaries. No doubt you've heard about it because over 2 million copies were sold. Well, they've re-released an updated, revised title now, including Boundaries for the Digital Age. We've got 3 copies of this hardcover book. Would love to get a copy into your hands. I see emails coming in. Would you believe not one, though, has given me a mailing address? I wish we could mail a hard copy book to an email address, but we can't. So I want to hear from you, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and then get that mailing address. So Dr. John, you know, some people tend to equate the word love with the word yes. And I would love for you to speak to the person who maybe has a difficult time believing that you can be loving and still have a no in your vocabulary.
Yeah, the number one thing would be for us to all read our Bible.
Yeah, there you go.
Because nowhere in the scriptures will you find that love means saying yes all the time. That as our Heavenly Father who guides us and nurtures us and develops us, God says no to us a lot. I know that in my prayer life, he doesn't say, well, John's going to be kind of, sad about this, so I'm going to give him the car he wants. He goes, no, you can't afford it, so keep looking. And so what we find in the Bible is that there is a combination of what's called gratification and frustration. And that's it's a great parenting technique. It's a great business technique where God gratifies sometimes and says, yeah, have a party, or here's a blessing, or I'll give you what you need. Here's an ice cream cone. And sometimes he says no because he knows that something's not good for us and we need to delay gratification and learn frustration tolerance and patience. So suppose you got somebody in your life and there'll be, you got a kid who says, I want to go out and play instead of doing my homework. And you think, gosh, I got a great kid. Maybe they should go out and play without doing their homework. And they'd be sad if I said no, so I can't do that. What you just taught your kid by that yes to go out and play instead of doing homework is a couple things. One is that homework is not really important to mom and dad, so now it's not important to me. Two, if I beg them enough and nag them enough, I'll get my way. And three, I'm kind of in charge of the house. So not good lessons for a kid to learn who's going to be out and about one day in marriage and family and business and that sort of thing. So my big kind of like mantra here, Susie, is that there's a difference between hurting someone and harming someone. know, it hurts when I don't get the ice cream cone. It hurts when our kids are in timeout. It hurts when we don't let our kids borrow the car. It hurts when God says no. But that doesn't harm us. It doesn't damage us. And we harm our kids more and our friends more by never saying no. So keep the distance between discomfort and they don't like it and they're sad versus I don't want to harm people I love.
Boy, that's so good. One of my books, it's called Your Sacred Yes, but I explored the idea of the sloppy yes and the shackled yes and then the sacred yes. And sloppy yes is just about, you know, giving your yes to anybody. I guess it would be a boundaryless life. But what I learned as I dug into that so deeply is it not only wears us out, it makes us vulnerable. I mean, I learned about so many really solid leaders, Christian leaders, who kept making shortcuts as a way of life just because they said yes to too many things. And then in one moment of vulnerability, they stepped out and did something they never would, and everything came crashing down on them. There are major implications to a boundaryless life. Fatigue is one thing, but there's a lot more to it than that. So I would love for you to speak to just the implications of and the consequences of a boundaryless life.
Yeah, they're kind of in two directions, I think, Susie. By the way, your book, you know, thoughts are just right on, I think, practically as well as biblically. Mm-hmm. The first big deal is that they're not good for people in our lives if we're always saying yes, because then we don't teach people to be responsible for themselves. If we've got somebody that can have access, if a kid needs access to you and they're 6 months old, well, they need it. But, you know, somebody who's 12, 13, 14, if you're saying yes to that person all the time, you're training them to be pretty much self-centered in what we would call regress. But the second thing, it's not good for us either, because not only does it lead to burnout, it also leads to not using your gifts, not having energy for your talents, not having people respect you and these sorts of things. So there's many, many benefits to saying no, not all the time, but when it's time to say, I don't have the time or energy or money for this, and also I don't think it's good for you because I think it would be enabling you and rescuing you. And, you know, now that you're 27 and you're living in the basement and you're still playing video games, I think I need to say no to that. That's a good thing for the kid and for ourselves.
Good, good, good. Well, what constitutes a legitimate boundary?
I would say two things. Does it help me to be the person that God intended to get what I need done? We'll go back to Proverbs 4:23. Does that boundary help me to have the energy I need and the time I need and the resource and the money to figure out how to be a great parent and have a great career, to have great friends, a great experience, to help my church? So does it help me to have the essential ingredients I need to go out and do great things versus burning out and getting drained and power drained? The second thing is, does my boundary keep me from enabling and rescuing people in my life? Because unfortunately, there are people who don't want to take responsibility for their life, and we call them boundary busters. You might have somebody who says in your life who says, well, you know, I need for you to have lunch with me and mentor me every Saturday morning at Starbucks at 6:30. Well, that's a big mentoring responsibility. And people with poor boundaries think, well, God probably sent that person to me. They have a bad marriage. They don't have a great job, so I'll mentor them. And all of a sudden, you start dreading, you know, Saturday morning when you wake up. A good boundary says, I don't have that kind of time. That doesn't work. But I can meet with you like once every 6 weeks. That's a healthy boundary.
Yeah. Boy, that's really, really good. Well, you know, Scripture says in Proverbs, the fear of man is a snare and a trap, a dangerous trap, actually. And the fear of God is freedom and safety. Love for you to speak to the person who fears how others may respond to his or her boundaries.
Well, you know, nobody wants to disappoint people. I mean, people sometimes say in the book, well, you know, there's something that doesn't feel great to me. Well, it probably shouldn't feel great. I mean, to wake up in the morning and think, I can't wait to say no to a lot of people, something's wrong with that. So there is a fear of a kind of a concern of, I don't want to disappoint people in my life or my family or my customers or whatever. I don't want to. But that's fear with a little F. That's just a concern. The big fear with a big F is the one the Bible talks about. The fear that we will disappoint people or displease people or hurt their feelings or make them mad, that keeps us from living life the way that God said. Well, that's a no-no. We've got so many examples all the way through the Bible where our heroes and our prophets had to say no a lot to people who got really mad and actually crucified the Lord, and they had to keep saying no to them. So fear of man like that is in three categories, the way I look at it. So then we have to deal with it. Some of us are afraid that the number one is that they'll leave the relationship and pull away from us because we love our people in our lives. If they all of a sudden give us the cold shoulder and shut down and don't connect with us, well, it's very hard for us. So you got to watch out for that fear. Second fear is the fear of conflict. That's not that they'll leave us. Fear of conflict is that they'll have a tantrum, get mad, escalate, and some of us don't handle conflict very well. So we say, just don't get mad at me. I'll give you anything I want. I'll give you my time, my energy, my money. I'll give you anything you want. We've got to deal with that, the fear of their anger, the conflict. And the third one is the fear of our guilt. And because guilt, you know, with Christians is the guilt gift that keeps on giving, right? And
yeah.
We struggle with that. And that's not a fear of conflict. That's a fear that I have wounded this person so that I don't want to hurt or dishearten or discourage people in my life. And so you've got to deal with all three of those fears. If you begin to get a handle on those three, you really can set boundaries in a much more smoother way.
So we've got about a minute and a half to our hard break at the bottom. So for the person who's afraid, they should maybe back up first and kind of untangle some of the fears that are strangling them, so to speak, before they go and act on these things?
Well, I think they have to because, you know, we kind of speak out of our hearts, and the Bible talks about from out of our mouth. And so if you don't handle those fears, you'll go in and try to say no, and then what will happen is since you haven't dealt with the fear, you'll take your words back or you'll crash or you'll comply and say, I didn't mean it. Okay, you can have the money or you can have the ice cream. So you got to deal with those fears. And how do you deal with any of those fears? I mean, we all have a tab, at least one of them, is to bring it to God and say, God, I'm too afraid of disappointing people. I'm too afraid of people's anger. I'm too afraid to be alone. Help me with that. And then to get around some really great, cool Christian people that'll say, you can say no to me. You won't hurt my feelings. Yeah, I wanted to go out for Chinese food. You want to go to Mexican food. Well, we can disagree on that, and I'll go your way. And all of a sudden, you begin seeing not everybody in the world freaks out when I say no. I've got some wonderful people that love me and support me. We can say no and be friends. Then it gets better.
Boy, so good. Talking to Dr. John Townsend. When we come back, we're going to talk about a scenario that he writes about in the book of a girl who did this wrong, where she kind of went hog wild with her boundaries and it sort of backfired. So we can just look at that as a kind of a lesson of what not to do. And there's ways to do this. Talking to Dr. John Townsend, his book, Boundaries, new release, re-release, I should say, When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. Three copies of this amazing book. Really, I think it's a $23 book, this packed full of information. Love to get one to you. Email if you'd like in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Love that song because it's so true. You know what? We're works in progress and we get to be without the condemnation. Isn't that amazing? God's merciful and gracious with us. May we be so to others. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Dr. John Townsend. We always love it when he joins us. He co-authored the famous book, You Know It Well, with Dr. Henry Cloud, titled Boundaries. Well, they've just re-released an updated, revised version. We've got three copies, and I love seeing your addresses. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening as well. So in the book, you tell a story, Dr. Townsend, of a girl named Gina who realized she needed to set boundaries with practically everyone in her life, and she was ready to do that. But the next time she returned to your office, she was all defeated because nobody would speak to her. And you wrote this. What was the problem? Well, Gina certainly jumped into her boundary work with both feet, but she neglected to find a safe place to work on boundaries. It isn't wise to immediately alienate yourself from everyone important to you. You touched on this before the break, but I want you to say more about that, about finding a safe place to work on boundaries.
You know, there's an old proverb. And it's chapter 30 that says, the earth trembles under a slave who becomes a king. And some people that never had a boundary got all these boundaries kind of building up over and over again, and these things I've been wanting to say, and, you know, that boss is crazy or that kid is driving them nuts. And they finally they read the book, and all of a sudden that slave becomes a king, and they start yelling and screaming, the earth trembles. I remember I was doing a conference one time, and a lady came up to sign, and I was signing books, and she said, your book really helped me. I said, well, thank you very much. How did it help you? She said, well, as soon as I read it, I divorced my husband. I said, wait,
wow.
I said, slow down here. we're anti-divorce, but she had kind of gone off half-cocked and hadn't done any practicing. Wow. And just kind of laid the limit. Well, that's why when you look at how we're supposed to grow, you've got to have exercises and you've got to have skills and practice and all this, because you're either going to like stutter when you do your boundaries and say, oh, I really mean yes, that's no good. Or are you going to say, after all this time, I'm so tired of your attitude, and then we lose relationships. So the practicing with the right people is when you say, look, can I just practice this conversation I've got to have with my adult child or my spouse or my boss or whoever, and you kind of like walk me through it. And the other person just says, okay. And you say what you're going to say, and the person says, you kind of sounded harsh there, Beth. Let's try it again. And then all of a sudden, after a few times, you go, okay, I'm equipped, and my anxiety's down. I've got my skills. I'm a big, big believer in role play. I've got a whole role play business that I'm rolling out on my website about how we can learn to grow from each other by having great conversations through role play.
And I love that, and I do that very exact thing. Our inner court friends have full permission to say the hard thing to us and vice versa. And when you've been through the trenches with friends like that, and you've endured it on the other side, they're just the safest people in the world. And, you know, I've got a friend who just laughs in my face when a fear is rising up, and she's like, do you hear yourself? And that's just the best gift to me, to be able to have her give me that kind of feedback. This boundary thing, Dr. Townsend, I've seen it done well, and I've seen it done really poorly. And for me, I'd love for you to just give feedback on what I've seen. Maybe I'm seeing it, I hope I'm seeing it clearly, but maybe not. But those who I've seen who've done it well have a humility and a confidence about them. They're not driven by fear. They don't seem to take themselves too seriously in that. They don't seem highly offendable. They just seem like humbly confident. But those who are operating from fear tend to have their elbows locked. And I've seen it time and time again where they have so many personal rules, people just start to go away, go, you know what, you're too much work to be in a relationship with. And they end up alone and even afraid. And it's a really sad story to me. So I'd love for you to just maybe even comment on those two that scenarios that I've seen over and over again.
Yeah. When I go to Matthew 7 and Jesus talking about relationships, he says, before I take the mote out of my brother's eye, I better take the beam out of my own eye, which means I could be coming across critical or judgmental or harsh or whatever, and make sure that I've got instead a spirit of compassion and vulnerability. That's why you see in Ephesians where it says, speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. That just because I might have some boundaries now doesn't mean I've become this truth monster that's got no love. Who wants to hang, like you said, who wants to hang out with a truth monster that's all they do is confront things or say I've got these rigid, you know, rules about relationship around me? That's just, nobody wants to. So you got to do your own work and go to people that you trust and go to the Lord and say, how am I coming across? Am I coming across that, I mean, the best combination is I'm coming across very direct and clear, but I'm also coming across very warm and vulnerable. Hmm. Now you've got the right combination.
That's
and you
great.
Don't do the boundaries until you can be warm and vulnerable too.
Hmm.
You know, they've done studies on, meta studies on great mothers and, you know, studies about great mothering and the kids that longitudinally over time become these great functional adults who are loving and have great marriages and children themselves and all that. And the two things that create a great mother, it comes down to two things. One is that she's strict, appropriately strict, and the other is that she's warm.
Hmm.
What does that sound like? That sounds like God. He's strict, he's got his rules and behavior, but he's also very warm. And so your boundaries have to be that way too.
Boy, that's beautiful. I would imagine, too, if you're going through a season of life where you're just raw, maybe God is unearthing something or you've got a trauma from the past that's surfacing and it's time to deal with it, that there may be a season for firmer boundaries. I remember having Darlene Check on the show when she was battling cancer. She said, it was hard for me, but she said, I had to really pick and choose who I allowed in my inner circle during that chemo, because some people would worry out loud in front of me and it would create all kinds of fear for me. And she just said, I had to be careful. I'd love for you to speak to that, because sometimes there are seasons, it seems, that you actually kind of do have to self-protect because you're so fragile and you need to get through the season.
Yeah, that's when we get to Ecclesiastes 3. We've talked about all the seasons, to build and destroy and build and heal and laugh and cry. There are these different seasons in life, and she's so delighted about that. And the formula is that I want to have the least restrictive boundaries that can still produce the most protection. So if you've got a horrible disease or frightening disease like cancer, you probably got to, what did you call it, your inner court?
Yeah.
Your inner court of your inner court.
Yeah.
It might be those only few people that really are sensitive and are attuned to you and would never say anything that would be disruptive until you're healthier. And then when you're healthier and you got more time on your hands and you're feeling better, then you go to the larger group. But, yeah, you really have to have the least respected boundaries that depend on your situation. So my point is they're flexible. They depend on your situation and your health and the traumas you've been through.
Boy, so interesting. Okay, so we've talked about times of fear that would push people away, and you need to get some healing in that. At times of trauma when maybe tighter boundaries might be called for. But what about when boundaries are misused and kind of wielded as a selfish tool? Do you ever see that? Or give me an example, if you would.
Oh, all the time. You know, people can use the word no to be self-centered, to control other people and all this. People can use it to say, no, I don't want to give my time to you because I just don't want to give it to you. It's just all about me. And, you know, that's not a healthy life. A healthy life is where we say no so that we can recharge our batteries and be healthy. And then we say yes to go give to our friends and our kids and our ministries are involved in, and that sort of thing. And her person just says no because it gets them, they don't ever want to be comfortable. Well, the Bible doesn't say a lot about having a comfortable life. So you can certainly use boundaries in a really negative way. You've always got to be driven by your core values of what God says, which is that we're supposed to give back to a world that really needs Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, what does it look like, Dr. Townsend, to put boundaries on our own thought life? Because this is, after all, work that only we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we know, Colossians says, you know, to capture, make every thought obedient to Christ, that our thoughts are our tool. I look at our thought life, because of how cool neurology is, as sort of a tool to make great decisions and, you know, do great things in our relationships and in our businesses and our work and our ministries and our family and cool new creative ideas. Our thoughts are our tool. But our thoughts are our master when our thoughts are going the wrong way towards temptation or vulnerability or holding on to a lack of forgiveness. So you've got to be, that's going to sound strange, but it's really, you have to do it this way. You have to think about thinking. You have to think about what dominated my thought life this way, this week or this today. One really important boundary is that if most of my thought life was about somebody else's misbehavior in my life and not about what I've got to deal with, I'm thinking the wrong thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be concerned about, you know, a controlling person in my life or a rageaholic or an addict or a selfish person. But in 24 hours, if most of my thoughts are about what a knucklehead they are and not about me and God and what I need to work on, my thoughts are out of balance. I got to be more concerned about my soul than theirs.
Amen. Remember years ago when God really was confronting me with my rogue thought life, and we had this little puppy, and I tell you, it was demonized. It just was something wrong with it. It just went everywhere.
Are you talking about Memphis here?
What's that?
You're talking about Memphis?
No, Memphis. Oh, you know my pit bull. He's amazing. No, he's totally saved.
This isn't Memphis. Yeah, different Memphis. Dog. Okay.
I'm totally impressed that you remember that. No, it was a little fluff ball, and he had a chip missing or something, but he would go around and run into walls and look with this crazy diet look, and tiny little thing would go to the bathroom in the size 100 times his own body, you know, and I would just like, I couldn't stand this dog. And I remember just running every which way, and God whispered to my heart one day, and he said, I just wanted you to have a visual of what your thought life looks like. And I...
like, you're just as out of control as
Oh, my goodness. And it was absolutely true. And this is 20 years ago. I mean, my head turned into meat like in the cartoon. I mean, I felt like I got my work cut out for me. And I realized, I had to put tight, tight boundaries around my thought life that God is good, his promise is true. He'll always make a way for me. I'm not going to think about what people think of me. I'm not going to fear the future. Places I was going rogue. And it took so much practice, but eventually it became instinctive to think right thoughts. But I had to do that work, and I wonder how often folks are willing to do that, because it's freedom, I'm telling you, you know?
Well, it's just, now we're coming back to Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit. And the one we always miss, we read the ones about love, joy, and peace, and patience. We forget the one called self-control.
Good.
And we can have control of our thoughts, and then we are free.
So good. So good. I love that you remembered Memphis. Okay, one more question before our last break here. You are doing a seminar, and this woman raised her hand and asked the question. I want to know what your answer is. In such a big book, I don't expect you to remember, but you'll remember now as I give this to you. She says, she raises her hand and says, I understand that I have boundary problems, but my estranged husband is the one who had the affair and took all of our money. Isn't he the one with the problem with boundaries? What do you say?
Oh, gosh. Well,
sorry.
Be nice to me if I don't get it exactly right. Mm-hmm. If I'd have seen her yesterday at a seminar, I would have said, well, certainly he has boundary problems. He's hurting other people. He's hurt you. But your job is not to fix or control him. He's got to deal with it with God and his family and all that himself. That's his job. Your job is to control how you respond to him so that he can't toxify you, he can't hurt you, and so that you can have a good life. So, no, he has a boundary problem, and that's his problem. But you have a boundary problem in that you don't want to allow him to toxify you anymore. Hmm. Is that anywhere close to what I said?
You know what? I don't even remember your answer from the book. I just love the question, and I appreciate it so much. Because I think at what there are times women tend to have a interpret submission to being a doormat to the point where they, you know, I'm going to please God and please you by just, you can run all over me. And then it accumulates to something like that. And then they wonder what.
Oh, Susie, I have never, I have counseled so many couples, and to date, I've never seen when they come in and the guy says, the problem is that she's not submissive. 100% of the times when I hear that, it's a control issue.
Wow.
It is always a control issue where he can't take a wife who has choices and a brain, and he can't wrap his hands around that.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Mission passage to get away from his control issues.
Hmm. Talking to Dr. John Townsend today, his book, one of his many, Boundaries. This is a New York Times bestseller book, over 2 million copies sold, re-released with updated information. Subtitle is When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. Love the emails coming in. If you've got a question for Dr. John, we have one more segment with him. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and remember the mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Maybe you're at that place where you feel like you're hanging on just by a thread. Well, Jesus has you, and his hold on you is stronger than your hold on him. Just don't let go, one foot in front of the other. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. John Townsend. And we always love it when he joins us, celebrating the re-release of his very popular book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. We just got about 10 minutes left with our guest today, and I wonder if we could walk through some of these laws of boundaries, like the law of sowing and reaping. Talk about that one, if you would.
Well, we take it from Galatians 6, where it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A person will reap what they sow. And there's other ways that life is, you know, defined that, like actions and consequences and actions and reactions and this sort of thing. But the whole idea is that a lot of our life is determined by the things that we do, and we want to experience good things on the other side. So the reason that that's a law is because it's really helpful to look in the future and see what your boundaries or lack of boundaries, what fruit they will bring, what sowing they will bring. For example, I had a gal who had a rageaholic husband, and he was just, you know, just out of control and mean. And so her strategy was calm him down, apologize for everything, soothe him, basically take responsibility for his rage instead of asking him to be responsible. And so I took her to Proverbs 19:19, and I said, look at this passage. It says, if you rescue the angry man, you will only do it again tomorrow. And I told her, no, let's look down the time, and a week from now, a year from now, if you keep not setting boundaries with him and taking responsibility for his temper tantrums, the Bible says that the consequence or the, the reaping is going to be, he's going to do it over and over again because it works and you put up with it. So you can either keep doing what you're doing and you're sowing of enabling, which is called enabling in the psychological world. Your enabling will continue reaping a really, really sort of a, three-year-old and 40-year-old man's body, or you can start setting some appropriate limits, and that increases the odds he'll take responsibility for his rage and begin to be a nice guy. So look at the future of what your actions are doing.
Love that. And on the flip side, when you have healthy boundaries, like I'm going to establish a good bedtime, I'm going to turn off the TV at a decent time and connect face-to-face, and the ripple effect, that's sowing as well, and there will be a reaping from that, won't there?
There will be a great reason for that. And the whole thing, when we're talking about the self-care thing, Susie, is it's never fun to say, I got to put some energy into face-to-face, and it's so easy to watch TV and sit on my button or read Facebook, because all those things, you know, being online and watching TV is a passive exercise. And it feels like really good because it doesn't take any energy. But the fruit of that is like lazy brain. But it takes energy to say, I'm going to put it away. We're going to have a real talk. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to, you know, I don't know, play Scrabble. We're going to do something active with each other. We don't want to do that because it takes energy, but then the fruit is so much better. God set up a system where if you put up a little pain now, you have a great fruit later.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and you talk about the power of momentum of a lot of little choices made consistently in the right direction. So maybe, friends, you need to get a vision for the law of sowing and reaping and what boundaries need to be established in your life to bear much fruit down the path. Okay, how about this one, the law of responsibility?
Well, what that has to do with the fact that when we went back to the original definition of boundaries, which is that they're a property line. A property line says everything that's my property, I'm responsible for that. I am responsible for my time and my energy and my money and my concentration and all that. But I'm responsible to other people to love them and help them and serve them. But we never should get it confused between being responsible for me and to you. And where Christians get in trouble is we're responsible for us and for everybody else. So all of a sudden, you know, we've got an alcoholic in our life, and we're responsible for fixing that person. Or we've got a person who doesn't like to work and needs to get money from us because they don't like to work, and we're responsible for the fact that they don't have a lot of money. And we've got to remember, it's for me because God made me responsible for me and to you. And when you get those two words straight, I'm responsible to Sam or Sally, but not for them. They've got to live their own lives. Life gets much better. Boy. You know, when you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, the new Christian version, the Good Samaritan, has been, you know, after he takes care of that person, then he goes on his way. Then the wounded person goes and finds him and says, "You left me. You didn't go start. You went to your own business. You didn't come by and check on me every single day and quit your job and keep ministering to me. You selfish person."
Yeah.
But the Bible says, no, he did what he could. Then he went his own way because he was responsible for himself and to the wounded person.
That is fantastic. Okay. This one, the law of power.
Well, that has to do with what we have power over and what we don't have power over. And here, the three things that we do not have any power over, Susan, this is for your listening audience. Number one is other people's choices. Number two is other people's choices. And here's number three is, guess what?
Other people's choices?
Other people's choices. And we are the consummate fixers and strategizers, and how do I make them, and how do I make them? You don't have any power. Joshua 24 says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. If it's not pleasing to you to serve the Lord, that's not my problem. I'm going to serve the Lord. I had somebody call the radio show the other day, and she said, I am a mother of three adult children. I want you to help me to parent my adult children better. And I said, that's an oxymoron. If they're adults, you can't parent them.
Exactly.
You should have been retired from that. That's leaving and cleaving. You don't have the power to stop them smoking weed or to make them go to church or to make them get a job. You have the power not to enable that, but you don't have the power to parent these people anymore. So freedom comes when you go, I've got the power to follow God, do what he says, have a great life, have great friends, do things that are you know, engage my talents. But I don't have power over other people's choices. I can influence them. I can ask them. I can talk to them. You've got to give up the power game or other people's choices will go nuts.
Boy, that may be a word of freedom for somebody today. That you know, someone once said, as parents, we take too much credit and too much blame. And
Boy, is that true.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got time, probably one or two more of these. Time is wrapping up here. The law of respect. What about that one?
Well, what that has to do with is that we need to respect other people's boundaries. You know, it's really easy to say, I'm going to finally have some boundaries in my life.
Hmm.
Well, good for the goose, good for the gander. I've also got to be able to take boundaries. So if someone says to me, I know that we plan to go out less next week, but I can't go. If we have an attitude to say, well, I guess you're not a Christian, or I thought you really cared about me, where is our relationship going? What we're saying is that I can give a no, but I can't take a no. We have to welcome people's boundaries and say, oh, bummer, you can't make it. Well, we'll do it some other time. Oh, when somebody confronts us. You know, the Bible doesn't say have an attitude when somebody confronts you. It says in Psalms, it is a favor to me when my friend smites me in the face, because they're helping me not to, you know, they're helping me to wake up to something and helping me not to ruin my life. So I've got to respect other people's boundaries when they say no to me. Go, okay, that's the way it goes. We'll catch up later. Or when they confront and say, thank you for the feedback. It hurt, but gosh, you really helped me. So respect other people's boundaries if you want them to respect yours.
I wonder, Dr. John, I think I know the answer to this, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. But, you know, in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about that love believes the best. And I don't know how able we are to believe the best about another when we believe the worst about ourselves, when we take everything personally. So, I mean, to give someone the benefit of the doubt, to say, oh, no problem, let's reschedule. You could do that if you had a strong, healthy sense of identity and you believe the best about them. I don't know that you can even do that if everything sticks to you like it's personal.
Yeah, there's a real issue these days in our culture of personalizing people's preferences.
Hmm.
Like somebody doesn't have it on their schedule, and then you say it's about me. No, it's not about you. The priorities change. And we've got to be able to not to make it a personal issue. It's just, oh, it had a different thought like I had different thoughts.
Boy, that's good. Well, all right, so we are ready to pray if you're okay with that. I'm thinking of the person listening. We're getting all kinds of emails here. That person listening today who feels like they've got some work to do, but they want to do it in the pace and the way that you're talking about here. Would you pray for that person?
God, thank you so much that you love us enough to give us hope and love, but also the power to have the truth and to say what we need to say. God, I just pray for that person out there that knows what they need to do. They know they need to say no to some bad situation or to some controlling person, and they've been terrified. I pray that you bring your Holy Spirit and your word and also some really nice people around them to say, it's okay, it's a good thing, and have courage in Jesus.
Mm, amen. Thanks for all you do, Dr. John. We sure appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate your ministry, sister. You're changing the world.
Well, come back again. That's Dr. John Townsend. The title of his book is Boundaries.
You did in the cold and on your own, but I see a silver lining appear beyond the dark and beyond your fear, 'cause you were never meant.
Wow, what a great show. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Title again of Dr. John Townsend's book is Boundaries. So if you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, I'll talk to Danielle Strickland about freedom, finding freedom from what enslaves you. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead.